All right, so the letter we're going to learn today is about faith. The Jewish people are fortified by faith, our trust in Hashem. This is Dated Yud Aleph Nissan. The year was Tavshin Chof Aleph, which would be the equivalent of 1961. Brooklyn, New York. La'achenu b'nei Yisrael b'chol asar v'asar. Hashem aleim yichyu. Addressed to all Jews in every place, as we said, ultimately in every time also. Shalom Rav Ubracha. Much peace and blessing. And the Rebbe gets straight to the point. Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Exodus. Shehi Hanekuda HaMerkazis Shal Chag HaPesach. This is the central point of the Passover holiday. That is to say, there are a number of things that are related to Pesach. Included is Israel's agricultural cycle. And on the second day of Pesach, we bring the first mincha, the first meal offering, not from wheat, from barley, but you cannot say that Pesach is only about the Exodus, but you can say it's primarily about the Exodus. So this is certainly the central fulcrum, the central point. And it's Tefeses Mokem Merkoze B'Yeser B'Chai Ha'am HaYehudi. Truth be told, that the Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only occupies a place of enormous importance on the Yom Tov of Pesach, but really, by extension, in the life of a person who is Jewish. Hein HaKlal v'Hein HaPrat. This is true both broadly speaking, and it's true when you get into the details. HaYetzia miMitzrayim, the Exodus, the leaving of Egypt, melamedes kol Yehudi, serves as a lesson for every single member of Am Yisrael, for every Jew. It in turn becomes a lodestar of sorts. It's kind of like a guide. It's what shows us the right path. Not just overarchingly speaking, we were a family, we moved to Egypt, we became overwhelmed by the forces arrayed against us. We kind of dissolved into Egyptian society. We were a nation within the bowels of another nation, and out of a family came nothing, nothing left, just a faint remembrance of a proud family that once was, that had enormous amounts of people, but really nothing that hammered us together or served to forge us in a common way. And then we were born, and then we came into our own, and that's Pesach. But the truth is that Pesach is not just, broadly speaking, the birth of the Jewish people, but Pesach, down to the small little details, provides us with critically important lessons. And here is one of the Mekaveh Ha'ifi Ha'ikrim Sh'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here's one of the primary essences of the Exodus is the Betochen Habilti Ragel B'Hashem. Oftentimes, this is not talked about. For some reason, this gets swept under the carpet. Maybe because people don't like to talk about faith. Maybe it makes them uncomfortable. But you cannot ignore the fact that the Exodus happened, not in a vacuum, but fortified with an enormous amount of faith. There was a huge leap of faith on behalf of millions of people. And without that leap of faith, Yetzias Mitzrayim would never have been. There was Bahashgachaseh HaLekis, an extraordinary overt supervision of Hashem, kefisha davar ba'oz lebitoy, as it essentially expressed itself at the time. And the Rebbe puts it into such simple words that you cannot deny it. Just plain, simple words. You're talking about Am Shalom. You're talking about a nation. You're talking about milyone b'nei adam, millions of people. Gvarim, noshim, taf, men, women, children. You're talking about millions of people. We know that it's millions of people because there's a census count. And the census count is males, and the census count is people who are of the age of military conscription from age 20 to age 60. Moshe Rabbeinu at the time is 80. He's not counted. Aaron is not counted. Miriam is not counted. The assumption has to be if you have this many men, you have this many women, because God cannot create a world in which he doesn't allow the possibility of procreation. As the Rishonim say in Maseches Ksubos, Ki chen gozer ha-melech. That's the way Hashem created it. That's the way Hashem decreed that it should be chatzi zchorim and chatzi nekevis, half males, half females, so that everybody has a chance to participate in the mitzvah of procreation and developing the future of humanity and of our nation, of the Jewish people. So if you have 600,000 men from the age of 20 to 60, then we have every reason to say we had 600,000 women from the age of 20 to 60. So now we don't have 600,000, now we have 1.2 million. And then the children were more populous than the adults. As they were in Mitzrayim longer, the suffering became more intense. And as the suffering became more intense, we continued not only not to diminish, but to increase with greater intensity. So if there was 1.2 million people from age 20 and onward, for sure there had to be at least as many or maybe more under the age of 20. No, you do the math. So far we're at 2.4 million. Moshe Rabbeinu lives till 120. People were lots of older people. It's true that the men ended up dying in the desert. The women didn't. We have to add on at least another million people. So there we have millions of people. That's a very conservative estimate. So you have millions of people, people from every stripe, from every kind of nuance. Oizvim bevas achas, together as one, they leave as a single nation in Eretz Neshevas, a land that's settled. In Eretz Shehoise Mevureches b'chol hatzrochem hagashmiim, a land that provided, that served as a cornucopia of blessing for those who lived in it. Yes, it's true. The Jewish people did not fare well. We were tortured. We were abused. We were taken advantage of. We were enslaved. That's true. But the land itself was still a good land. It was a land that when there was bust all over the Middle East, there was boom in Mitzrayim. And that's because Egypt is naturally irrigated. It doesn't need to have rain. So famine, which was caused by drought, which once upon a time was a very real concern, in the time when the Jewish people were living in Mitzrayim, the one country in the world where economic bust was not a concern was in the land of Egypt, was in Mitzrayim. Millions of people are living in a land of plenty, a land that organically and naturally provides for its inhabitants. B'chol atzrachim agashmim, whatever you need. V'yeitzim l'derech recheike, they're heading off onto a long journey. And they're going, b'li mazon, they're going with no food. They don't have food. They're going b'li tziyud. They're going without any kind of accompaniment. They have really no ability to defend themselves. Ach v'rak, only, solely, mitoich histamchus mochletes al dvarav shel Moshe Rabbeinu. This fellow Moshe said to them, we're going. And based on his words alone, the people followed. Because he spoke b'shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he spoke in God's name. He said, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. God says we go. And because God says we go, we said, Moshe, if you say God says we go, we go. Yes, it all came. It gets even better. B'yitziyasim imitzrayim le'holchu b'derech hamukeres v'akzora. We knew we were going to the land of Israel. We knew we came from Canaan. We knew that our grandfather Yaakov had settled there. And we knew that we had left and come down into Mitzrayim, and there would be a time we would leave Mitzrayim and return home. So we knew we were going. And there was a natural way. And the natural or easy journey is taken through the Gaza coast. From Egypt, through the coast, till today, it's a crossing from Egypt into Gaza. They call it today the Philadelphia crossing. I have no idea why it's called Philadelphia, but it is. And it's the natural way to get from the land of Mitzrayim into the land of Israel. It's the most natural way to do it. We didn't go that way. Now, there's a reason. The Torah tells us why. This way was fraught with the possibility of attack or battle. Ach, however, gambel mochama, even when there's a war, kaim tamed hasikoi ulai yunatzchu, maybe they'll win. We're going to war, okay? Statistics, maybe 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, there's still a chance. Nobody can be absolutely certain. You don't know. It's going to be a war. We'll see what happens. And afilu im lav, even if we're saying that there's no way that they could ever win a battle like that, kayemesef sharis, there's still a very real possibility, shalapachos, chelek, yinotzel v'yishor b'chaim. From every war, there are survivors. There's a battle, there are survivors. So just because you're going into battle doesn't mean you're not going to live to see another day. The Allied soldiers who landed at Normandy were slaughtered by the Germans. Yet, there are thousands of soldiers who survived. It was an impossible battle. They had the high ground. They had the superior firepower. They had every reason to be successful, and we were coming. The Allies were coming off ships and boats, off landing craft. They had to run through water wearing military gear, sitting ducks. And they knew there was going to be many people dying in this battle. That wasn't a question. They knew that many people wouldn't make it, and many people didn't. But nonetheless, many people did. In every battle, there's going to be survivors. So if you know you're going on a path and there's going to be a battle ahead, it doesn't mean certain death. It means many people will die and many will live. They didn't go to such a place. They didn't enter into a battle. They didn't take the highway. They went into a desert. Shaboy, within this desert, there is zero statistical chance of survival. Zero. If a private individual were to go on his own in a desert like that, he would certainly die. It's not possible otherwise. How are you going to make it? Especially if you're going without provisions. If you go with 30 camels, and they're loaded up, they had a good drink before, so they're going to be busy, and they're loaded up with water and provisions. Okay, maybe you can make the 10-day journey, 15-day journey. But if you're going with no provisions into a wilderness, a desert like that, there is no reasonable chance for survival. None whatsoever. You're going to die. You have to die. It's not possible any other way. It's far more certain than entering into a battle. And yet, everything we are describing describes exactly the circumstances that we walked into. Leaving behind the land of Mitzrayim, we walked into the desert. Only because Moshe Rabbeinu told us to. Because he spoke in the name of Hashem. Vishuv, habasis hayochid, the sole factor at play here, lifel kach, to do something like this, is ha'uvda shekein shekach hayrech Moshe b'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu told us in the name of God. Hapela godli yeser. The truth is that if you think about it, it's even more astonishing. Kishim is benin, when you contemplate that the Jewish people were living in the land of Mitzrayim at this point for 210 years. That's a long time. Think about where the world was 210 years ago. Think about what your ancestors looked like 210 years ago. Some of them were wearing robes in North Africa. Some of them were wearing shmatas in Eastern Europe 210 years ago. It's a long time ago. The Jewish people were immobile for 210 years. It wasn't as if they were a nation that were immigrants, where there was still a memory. My grandparents immigrated, and I know I'm still new in this country. Decade after decade, generation after generation, nobody's gone anywhere. First of all, you can't go. You're stuck. The borders closed. They were slaves. Nobody went anywhere. V'noisev lakach, hoisezu goyshen Mitzrayim. So they were not used to traveling or going anywhere. And they were living in the area of Mitzrayim known as Goshen, which is an eretz sheyesh bo hakarka hamufcheres v'hashmeina b'yeser, the finest fertile soil, the fertile crescent of Egypt. They were living right smack in the middle of that. It was a land that was most prolific for planting, for growing. She'eina t'luya b'gishamim. It requires no rain whatsoever. It's right on the Nile Delta. And it's irrigated constantly. There was always green. If you look at it from satellite pictures, you can see the area of the delta, Nile Delta, is green, and everything else is like the color of sand. All of North Africa is the color of sand. That area is always green and verdant. And that's where they were living. A land in which there's very fertile soil, and they're living in a place in which nobody goes for or lacks for food. And they didn't have a good time, granted, but there was safety, there was some security. Kiim betucha tamid memayim, they always had water, lashka, to irrigate, to water the vegetation, lishtia, to drink, and that came in our Nilus, from the Nile River. Eretz shehichaya ufa'elas tamid lafi chuki nasivas hateva. By virtue of nature, you were certain to survive if you stuck around the fertile crescent. Nothing could go wrong. And the people uprooted themselves, having no prior experience in traveling and journeying. And they followed Moshe Rabbeinu, not on the normal highway, literally into a wilderness, a desert where statistically the chances of survival was zero. So when you think about that, you could argue that the single strongest factor in Yetzias Mitzrayim was the faith of the people, the emunah. On a literal level, this is why matzah is called michlo de mehemenos, a bread of faith, because they left Mitzrayim, driven from the land, with nothing but dough. How much dough could you take? Dough. That's all they had. No provisions. And they just set off into the wilderness and desert. The pasuk says, ki yimeitzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Mi'yimeitzeischa, from the time we went out of the land of Mitzrayim, from the time that we left the land, we become chayiv. We become obligated in the following. We become obligated in living with habetochen, hamuchlat, bahashgachas Hashem, vehisnagus bakol. We become obligated to follow the image of how our nation came into being. Fueled by faith, fortified by faith, the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care. Not just broadly speaking for the nation, but ad lechaya yom yom, right down into everybody's own individual daily life. That the Jewish people have become used to not looking at statistics or listening to what the pundits or professionals will say, but rather to live by faith in Hashem. That the thing that escorts us, the thing that guides us along, for all of us, individuals and generally speaking of all time, is this notion of the concept of miracles. I mentioned on Shabbos, or maybe last Shabbos, David Ben-Gurion was not exactly your picture of a religious man. Not by a long shot. I don't know if he fasted Yom Kippur. Maybe he did, I don't know. He certainly didn't put on tefillin every day. But when they asked him if he believes in miracles, this is recorded, he said, anybody who doesn't believe in miracles is not a realist. That was like, it was a given to him. Of course, he says, if you don't believe in miracles, then how are we here? So he managed in his mind to somehow have this dissonance where he believed in God. He believed, generally speaking, in miracles. But in my own life, I can do whatever I want. So a lot of people do that. They compartmentalize. They have faith in Hashem. They know there's a God. But somehow, it doesn't obligate the way I have to behave. God doesn't really care if I listen to his Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah, that's how God created it for us to overcome. We all do this to some degree. We all fool ourselves to some degree, thinking it doesn't really make a difference. I'm doing most of the stuff. I'm doing pretty good. Of course I believe in Hashem, but. So this notion is something that has always accompanied our people. Zen Nesen es Hamayna L'Sha'ayla Shematziv Ha'olam Ale Yehudi. This is our response to the world, to the non-Jewish world. And those who follow the non-Jewish approach to the world, that they ask Jewish people who are studying Torah, performing mitzvahs, they'll say that Anu chayim ba'olam shel hatachras u'ma'avak al hakiyum. We live in a world of competition. We live in a world in which people struggle. There's a wrestling match for life, for survival. This is the reality. And because that's the case, all different parts of humanity live in different parts of the world, and everybody lives under their own specific conditions. But how could you not worship the powers to be? What are the powers to be? The Rebbe says, imzer hadolar, whether it's money people worship, or ha-pachad li yishreinim and ashreinim, or it's the idol of political correctness, afraid to say, think, or be different than your neighbors and others. Can't go against the flow. Got to go with the flow. Do what everybody does. You're not going to be able to survive. The world is simply too big, too frightening, too daunting. How could a person be connected to 613 mitzvahs? Hamachbidays, humagbilays, says pulos ha'adam, which weigh us down, which inhibit and limit our ability to function. And etz avedase al kol tzad v'shal, it takes tremendous toil Every step, every turn, here we are before Pesach. Everybody's groaning and krechtsing. It's so difficult and so challenging and so hard. How can you do this? How can you live like this? This is how people speak. And what's the answer? What's the answer to the challenges of Jewish life? And there are many. The challenges of sending your children to a school in which they learn Torah mitzvahs. The challenges of raising them to be part of society and at the same part apart from society. The challenges of living in the real world and living entirely in another world. How do you deal with all this? The answer is one word. But you know what the answer is? The Exodus. The Exodus. Hatshuvah Yitzias Mitzrayim. As we said, what was the essence of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Fortified by faith in Hashem. What's the answer today? How? How will you? How could it be? How will we succeed? Faith in Hashem. We succeeded then, we succeed today. Kefi, kemaybi Yitzias Mitzrayim, just like when we left Mitzrayim. That following God's instructions, without making all the calculations and figuring out what the world will say and how will we survive and what will be with tomorrow, without making all those calculations, that was the pathway to real success, to real happiness. Because statistically, we didn't stand a chance. And logically, it made no sense. So what propelled us along? Why did we do it? And the answer is, we had faith in Hashem. Hashem said, this is the way it has to be. Hashem said, this was expected of us. So we followed. And when we followed, we came into the most fortunate of realities. Leirak la'ish haruchni. Not only the good fortune, a spiritual good fortune. Kabbalah sa'teira, receiving the teira, and developing into the Am HaNivchar, the special children of Hashem, selected and chosen by Hashem. Elagam la'isha gufni. Ultimately, this brought us also into a good place materially. It enabled us to receive the Eretz Zovas, Cholav Advash, the land that flowed, proverbially, with milk and honey. Kach gam kayoim v'tamid. So it is today, and so it shall always be. Ubli kol kesher l'ma shahaya ba'avar. Regardless of what has happened, Harilachal Yehudi Ulaklal Yisrael Haderech HaYechida, is for the true for us, both nationally and individually, that the only path, the solitary, single path for us to be able to reach true happiness and true fulfillment is Kviyas Chaya Hayem Yom, is establishing your life. And the order, the organizations of life, however, the system and methodology through which you go through life, that it should be organized, Lefi HaTeiro Mitzvei Seha, according to the Torah and by its mitzvahs. As it is written, V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem means you live in them. Good life, life is within the rubric of Torah mitzvahs. Yiddishkeit, that is life. That gives us life, that gives us fortune in life, that gives us satisfaction and happiness in life. So we, the Jewish people, got commanded by Hashem not only to do mitzvahs, specific acts of holiness, love, loyalty, and devotion, but also, that in all our pathways, wherever we may roam, we should always know Hashem and use it as a way to come home to Him. In all of a person's activities, all day long, a Yid has to live with the instructions he gets from Torah. And what's the instruction? The instruction that he gets is, that mishum kacho alu lehiskab lehitokel b'chol eis b'kushyam uskeres leil. That in every situation, you might end up at some of the challenges we talked about. So if you end up in the aforementioned circumstances, challenges, situations that seem to frustrate or get in your way, to inhibit your path, that the Yid remembers, l'man tizkeres himseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. That a Jew is ordained to remember going out of Mitzrayim every single day of our lives, all the days. In other words, this is not just a history, a memory. It's a zechira, it's a remembrance, hamala medes. It's a remembrance that becomes, for us, illuminating. It teaches us. It's me'iro manika koyach lesnagos ha'oises kol la'yomim le'yomim yehudim chayim. It's the lesson that enables us, that illuminates us, so that every single day can be a Yiddish day. the kind of day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have. And regardless of the circumstances, what does a person have to do at all times? He has to stop, to think, he has to remember. What does he have to remember? L'man tizkir Hashem tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. When you left Mitzrayim, what did the statistics say? What did the pundits say? What did the professionals say? What was the outlook? Finished. An insane people going into the desert. They're going to be slaughtered. They'll all die. In fact, the Pharaoh came to bring us back to Egypt because he was so certain that we would never survive. Somehow he did. Miracles and wonders, but somehow he did. Is not to remember that once upon a time Hashem did miracles and once upon a time he's looking out for us, but rather that this is what enables us to get through life every day. The Friedrich Rebbe used to be Madgish, Chag HaPesach, that the Yom Tov, the holiday of Passover, of Pesach, Meir Magia, illuminates, it resonates, and it reaches Loirak L'chol Yom, not only every day, Ela Tamid. It is a constant. And with that message of Exodus and faith, we are able to continue to go forward, Mechayel L'chol, and hopefully, my dear friends, soon, we reach a destination with the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira u'b'yameinu amen. The letter finishes with blessings for our Chag HaPesach, Kosher, and Sameach.